Well, it is certainly an honor to worship with you this morning and to bring God's word to you this morning. I was surprised to get the invitation because, y'all know me and you still invited me back anyway. And so that's real nice. And I appreciate that. I do. Always enjoy worshiping at Pauline. I certainly did when I was a member here before and have enjoyed it this morning. Enjoyed meeting old familiar faces and some new faces too. And it's a joy to worship with you this morning. I want to talk to you this morning about God's work. God's work. 125 years is an astounding milestone. Not many churches last that long. There's churches that close all around us all the time. But this church has been here 125 years and counting, going strong, growing, thriving. And that is because of God's work right here at Pauline Baptist Church. You know, sometimes when we see success in ministry, it's tempting to look at ourselves as what we've done. But I like the spirit here because y'all have pointed to what God has done. And that's as it should be. It is God's work. And that's really the theme of the passage I want to look at today. If you have your Bible, turn it to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to pick up in verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. This is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth, and the church at Corinth had some issues, okay? They had some division within the church, and the division that they had amongst the church was they were getting competitive with each other because of many different things. One of the things they were competitive with each other about was spiritual gifts. So they would say to one another, well, I've got this gift, so I'm a better Christian than you. Oh, yeah, well, I've got this gift. Well, I'm a better Christian than you. And on it went. And so Paul had to deal with that issue. Other things that they dealt with, there were some divisions about some church discipline issues in the church. Wow, you know, we don't ever want to see that, right? But they've got so competitive with each other, they were even arguing amongst themselves about who their favorite preacher was. Can you imagine that? Well, I like Apollos. Oh, yeah, well, I like Paul. Oh, yeah, well, I like Peter. And they would argue about that with each other. And so in addressing that, Paul is letting them know it's not about us. It's about God and his work. And that's the emphasis of this passage. So let's read it together. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. He writes, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. God's work. Today I specifically want to look at four ways God works in the lives of believers that are represented in our passage this morning. First, God works through us. God works through us. We see that in the opening verse of our passage today, verse 5. Paul asks a rhetorical question to them. He says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? These were two of the preachers they were bragging about and arguing about, right? Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. God worked through Paul. God worked through Apollos to minister to them. God still works through believers today. He works through you. He works through me. He works through us to do his work. He chooses to do that. Now, he doesn't have to, but he chooses to. Isn't it a privilege to be included in God's work? To be used by him to work through us to change lives. So God works through his people. And God's work requires his power. We never want to forget that. There's a few things that he mentions here. Verse 5, he says, as the Lord gave or assigned to each one. Anything that we do for the Lord is because of his calling in our life. And there are different callings, there are different gifts, there are different abilities. That's all according to God's design. God calls, God gifts, God empowers, and so God gets all the glory for all of it. So his work requires his power. We can never try it on our own. I've tried it on my own before. I can tell you it don't work. It don't. But when God does it, oh, you can't stop it. You can't stop it. God's work requires his power. Notice it says in verse 6, God gave the increase, or God gave the growth. Church is growing. Why is that? Because God does it. Notice in verse 7, he says that it's God who gives the increase. Once again, church is growing. Why? God does that. Churches don't grow because of programs. Churches don't grow because of music or personalities. Churches grow because God is doing a work there. God's doing a work at Pauline Baptist Church. There are some faces here that weren't here when I was here before. I think God's doing a work here, don't you? He is. God does that. We are just channels through which God chooses to work. I thought about a firefighter, okay, or firefighters. They will pull up in the, if there's a fire, they pull up in the fire truck and they roll out the big long hose. And they'll stretch that out to where the fire is, because what they're going to do is they're going to spray that water on the fire. But you know, that hose cannot do a thing by itself. It takes the fire engine pumping the water through that hose to put the fire out. If you just stretch a hose out and lay it out in the yard, the building's going to burn down and nothing's going to happen. But when that water goes through that hose, the fireman can use that, put out the fire. The hose is a channel through which the water does its work. You and I, as believers in Christ, we are channels through which God does his work. It's an honor and a privilege to be a part of that, isn't it? That's something to be excited about. God's working and I get to be part of it. God works through us. Not only does God work through us, but also God works for us. Now, not in the sense of a boss and an employee, but he works for our benefit. We see that represented in our passage too. We benefit from God's produce. God's work causes increase or growth. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. It's a benefit to a church when God causes growth in the church. Don't you agree? It is. God works to benefit us, to grow us, to strengthen us, both individually and corporately as a church. We benefit from God's produce. We benefit from God's prize. Now look at this. He says that in verse 8, that the workers receive a reward or wages. Now think about this. Okay. God's doing the work. He says, you can come along for the ride, and guess what? I'm going to reward you for it. That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? He does the work. We get to participate, and he gives us rewards for it. That's great. That's fantastic. God works to benefit us. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. God's working for your good. That doesn't mean everything that happens in your life is good, but that means that God takes it all and weaves it into good for you. Sometimes we can't see it at the time. There's sometimes I've had things happen. You've had things happen. At the time, it's like, oh no, this ain't good, right? And sometimes we might even question, how can God turn this into something good? And humanly speaking, it can't turn into anything good. But God is not bound by human limits, is he? God works all things, the good, the bad, the ugly, the in-between, whatever it is. He works it all together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So in that sense, God works for us. We live in an agricultural community, and I think folks who work in agriculture understand this better than many others. Farmers work hard, day in, day out. Can I get a witness? I'm sure there's some that can tell you exactly what that takes. But you know, God makes it grow. You work hard, but it still takes God to make it grow. And that's exactly the imagery that we see here. That it's God that does it. Yes, do we work hard in the church? Absolutely. I know y'all work hard in this church. You've worked hard to put this together today. All the music that was done, all the food that we're going to enjoy in just a minute. Don't get hungry yet. We'll make it. We'll make it. But all of that took a lot of work to put together. But God gives the increase. And God gets the glory. He makes it grow. Well, thirdly, God works with us. So he works through us. He works for us. He works with us. Notice verse 9. It says, for we are God's fellow workers. Now think about that for a minute. Co-workers. Fellow workers with God. Now that's significant. Now God's doing the work, but he includes us in that work. So that tells us a couple things. One, he works. Working. God did not just create the world and sit back and say, well, let's see how that turns out. No, God is active in the world today. He's active in your life and everybody else's life. Sometimes we look at how things are going in the world around us and, well, we just feel like God's not there. He's there. He's there. And he's working. And he's going to work it out. Why doesn't God do something about X, Y, Z, whatever? He is. Just wait. He is. He is. So he works, but then also we work. God wants to include us in his work. Many of you may have read Experiencing God, or you may have taken an Experiencing God class. That book's been around for quite some time now. But in that book, Henry Blackaby, the writer, he talks about seven realities of experiencing God. And two of those are important for what we're talking about today. The first of those realities is, number one is, God is always at work around you. He's always at work around you. Whether we realize it or not, he's there and he's working. He's doing things. Then the second one is, or the third one rather, God invites you to become involved with him in his work. That's where this all fits in. God's working, God's doing something, and he calls to his followers, he says, come along. I want you to be included in this. I want you to be a part of that. We see that with Jesus and his disciples. Jesus called his disciples during his earthly ministry. Jesus was doing things. He was healing people, he was feeding people, he was preaching and teaching, doing all of these things. And he called those disciples along. Hey, guys, I want you to come and follow me. That was the invitation. Just follow me. That was it. And what'd they do? Well, they followed him. And they saw what he did. And then he said, okay, I want you to participate in this and do part of this too. And they did, and they participated with him. And then when he left and went to glory, he said, okay, now I'm setting you out to do this. And they still went out, but they went out in his power when the Holy Spirit came upon them. God works with us. We partner together with God and with each other. That's really what church is about, isn't it? It's a partnership. It's a fellowship. Fellowship in the Bible doesn't just mean food. Now, it can include food. Amen, right? But that's not all of it. It's a partnership. We're partnering together for the cause of Christ. And we're partnering together with each other and with Him to do His will, to do His work, to get on board with His program. And that's good, isn't it? Well, not only does God work through us and for us and with us, but finally, God works in us. He works in us. So Paul describes that in two ways. First, he talks about the field. We've touched on that in verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. Not only are believers workers in the field, but they're the field also. He's working in us to do something in us. That children's song that's not just a children's song, he's still working on me, right? He's still working on each of us, isn't he? That's because we're the field. He's working on us, in us, growing us. He mentions the field, and he also mentions the foundation. He talks about believers in terms of a building. He says in verse 9, you are God's building, and then, or you are God's field, you are God's building. He's growing us and he's building us at the same time. Verse 10, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation. Now, Paul had founded the church at Corinth. And that foundation, he's going to tell us, is Jesus Christ. He came to Corinth when there was no church there. He was a church planter. So he built the church up on the foundation of Christ. And look at what he says. He says, as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another builds on it. So Apollos came along later to build on top of. We see that in 125 years here, don't we? The founders of this church, they've gone to glory now. But they built a foundation that's been built on and built on and built on up to today. And Lord willing, will continue to be built on until Jesus returns. So, and this is exactly the same idea. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the foundation. Building a crowd is not building a church. Right? You could light a big fire out in the yard and build a crowd, right? But that's not a church, is it? A church is that partnership that we talked about, that fellowship. That's what we have together, right? That's what you have together as Pauline Baptist Church. You're a partnership together in Christ. Believers in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, united together to serve Christ and work for Him. Jesus is that foundation. You know, if you build a house, a building, it's got to have a good foundation in it. I had some friends in Kentucky one time. They had bought a new house, or actually had it built, but the foundation wasn't good. And it caused all kinds of problems with that house. It developed some cracks and things in it. It was a mess. You've got to have a good foundation. What Paul is telling us is Jesus is the only foundation. That's it. There's nothing else we can build on. Everything else, it's just like building on the sand. If you just build something on the sand, it's going to shift, it's going to crack, it's going to fall down. But Christ is that solid rock. You build on Him and you've got a solid foundation. One that's not going to move. One that's going to be there. That solid foundation. The only good foundation for our souls is Jesus. That's the most important question you can ever answer. Do you know Jesus? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." There's only one way. There's not two ways. There's not a way and a half. There's only Jesus. He's the only way to get to heaven. He's the only way to get to God. So it begins with a relationship with Him. When you hear the good news of Jesus, Jesus is God's Son. He came to this world and He died on the cross to pay for our sins. And He rose from the dead on the third day, and everybody who will turn from their sins and put their faith in Jesus has everlasting life. And when a person hears that message and they say, "Yes, I believe that Jesus is God's Son. And I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask God to forgive my sin. And I'm going to make a commitment to follow God from this day forward." That's where it begins. The moment you put your faith in Christ, you become a child of God. You become one of these channels for God to work through. And then that begins that whole process. So that's the question I would ask. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? And if you know Him, are you working with Him? Are you working with Him? You know, there's the old song, "We'll work till Jesus comes," right? The chorus goes, "We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes, and we'll be gathered home." That's the story of every believer. That's the story of Pauline Baptist Church. We're working with God. He works through us. He works with us. He works in us. And He works for us. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank You for what You tell us in Your Word. We thank You for including us in Your great work. What a privilege it is to be a part of that. What a privilege it is to be counted as Your child in Christ Jesus. Lord, Your field and Your building, it's a family business, and we become part of Your family when we put our faith in Christ. God, it's my prayer this morning that if there's someone here who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, maybe they've been thinking about it, or maybe this is the first time they've heard about it. But if they've never received Christ as their Savior, it's my prayer that they would do it today, right now. Lord, it's my prayer for believers today that we would be diligent to join You in Your work. Maybe You're calling somebody here today for a certain type of ministry. Something maybe they've never done before, but You're calling them to that. It's my prayer they'll say yes to whatever it is You're calling them to do. Lord, maybe there's somebody here who was involved in ministry and You're calling them back to it. Lord, it's my prayer they'll say yes. Maybe there's somebody here who thinks that because something happened in their life that they can't serve You anymore. Lord, let them know that yes, they can, and let them say yes. And Lord, it's my prayer that as we serve You, as we work together with You, and You work in us and through us, that we will experience Your blessings over and over again. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Perhaps the Lord's laid a decision on your heart today. I'm going to invite your pastors to come up, and you may want to talk to them today. Maybe God's put a decision on your heart today. And you want to pray with them about it. Maybe you want to receive Christ as your Savior. Maybe you want to join the church. Maybe God's calling you to ministry some way or other. Come and talk to these brothers this morning. You do what God's leading you to do as we sing this morning.